Hello, I'm back. I think we're up to chapter 20 now of the cleansing. So I'm ready to start. Here I go. Chapter 20. We covered our heads and faces back up, only leaving our eyes. I vowed that as soon as we found another supply store, I would find a pair of sunglasses. Walking many miles in the heat tired us quickly, so we climbed back in the wagon. Now we were coming to the big crack in the earth. The fires were out, even though there was no one to put them out. Maybe they'd just burn out on their own, or maybe they were still smoldering. I don't guess it really mattered. I mean, we couldn't see them from here anyway. Our problem was how to get across. The crack was much too wide to jump. Besides, Jesse would not be able to make it over. So we had two choices. We could walk a ways to the left, see if there was a way around. We could walk around in the opposite direction for a while. I had no knowledge of how far we must travel or whether it would be worth the trip, but a compelling force drove us on. There was something, someplace better, somewhere. A place for supplies, a place to raise families, a place to start over. Travel weary, we stopped for a while, ate us a bite, stretched our legs. We finished the last of the water. Worry settled my heart, but then it came to me. Why would I worry? God did not send us this far to cause us anguish. Perhaps we would thirst, but only for a while. God would provide. It was time to move on. My lips were cracked, my throat was dry, and my eyes were filled with dust. Yet I had to laugh. It was not a funny laugh or insane laugh, but a laugh of pure joy. We'd found the end of the cracked earth. And a small forest settled in the midst of all the heartache, pain, and death and destruction. A rock ledge with water falling over it nearly took my breath away. I wanted to rush right in, but Hero cautioned me to calm. He was right. It must be checked out before we went full force hog wild. It was not long till we stripped down, not totally, but the grimy garments that kept the sun at bay. I stood under, and it felt like a real shower. So amazing it felt. I felt so much like an innocent child. I splashed Hero. Of course, he splashed back. It felt so good just to laugh and play, forget the harshness of the world, for a while anyway. We washed our grimy garments, put them back on, wet, of course. That would cool us for a bit. It would be so nice to stay here forever. But that was an impossibility. Our mission was to recreate the world, bring civilization back into being. With God's help. We filled the water. Actually, we were helping God. We filled the water bottles, and Jessie had drank her fill. She had even gotten in the water. I felt more alive than I had in ages, and by the look in Hero's eyes, I'm sure he did too. All good things must come to an end, and this did as well. Right back from the blazing sun, I had to shield my eyes. The forest had been cool and dark. But back in the sunshine took quite an adjustment. We did not have to travel far before we found bodies piled one on top of the other. Many, many flies landed in wounds and rotting flesh. Some were burnt so badly the skin had peeled. We walked on scattered ash, and I wondered if it was from burnt objects or cremated people. The stench was terrible, and the insects were huge. There were more of the army ants carrying flesh. I thought of stomping them, but there were way too many. The flies were twice as big as normal, extremely irritating. So far, there'd been no signs of life other than the huge insects and the dead. But at one time, this had been a massive city. Who was to say there was no one or nothing hidden in some of the buildings that still stood? It was surprising after what I'd witnessed that any remained. They did not look to be the best of shape, but they were enough to get out of the sun and possibly have supplies we could use. Some supplies we could use. So, what do you think, Hero? Shall we give it a try? Sounds good, lady. Just be careful. We do not know what is in here. I think Hero was still trying to get used to talking. His voice sounded a little strained, and neither of us had talked much anyway. I think his place had once been a drugstore. It did not matter what it was. I found a pair of sunglasses and some sunscreen. Hero got a kick out of me modeling several different pairs, but then he did the same. I grabbed a couple of extra bottles of sunscreen. I was not sure if it would help, but it was hard to move with all these wrappings, plus the fact it was extremely hot. But then again, I'd seen what happened to the people exposed to the sun. Hero unhooked Jazzy and brought her in out of the sun. She put up quite a ruckus. She had a good instinct for trouble, and from the back we heard a loud crash and something moving. Hero let Jazzy go, and she flew out of the building. Then she stopped. I decided I did not want to be in there either. Not yet, anyway. Excuse me. Hero followed me out. We saw something. Not sure what it was. I think at one time it had been human, but it slid on all fours and its eyes were glazed over as if blind. It made weird noises as if calling more. There are at least four, maybe more. I realized we were in no danger of being chased. One of the creatures came out only a little and screamed in pain. The others pulled it back. I could smell its flesh as it burnt, and I gagged. We were safe for now, but later we would have to clean them out. Walking on down, I guess you could call it a street, I was not surprised that Jazzy followed us. It did her good to be rid of the cart for a while. Well, now here was the real shocker. This building was really small, but one that I do not think we would need anything from. I really laughed so hard. You might know the government building would survive. The next building was the U.S. Postal Service. Even Hero got a good laugh out of this one until we knew our reason for being there. We had to go in, and all laughter stopped. Chapter 21. All eyes on the inside door. I thought I'd seen movement earlier, but it must have just been jitters from my previous building. I pulled off the sunglasses and looked around. The sun shone brightly through the windows, and I was aware of dangers behind counters and corners, even under the scattered packages. I felt Hero's eyes upon me, and my frustration was building. It should not, I know, but why should I have to be the one giving orders? I came so close to telling him so, but it only took one look in his eyes. He grabbed my hand. Stay close, lady. I'll not see you hurt. And I sure felt the guilt. He was not waiting for orders. He was making sure I was safe. What about that? Lady, if you'll look over there, I will look here. I'm sure there are packages that have needful things in them. I smiled. I think I was falling a little in love with him. But I do not think that was what was meant to happen. So I fought the love as if I was fighting an enemy. I could hear him ripping packages open. I was on the verge of ripping my first one open when I saw Hero's face staring at me. Not really Hero, but his picture. There was a board with missing children. Some were before the cleansing, some after. Missing families, pets, and America's most wanted. It was Hero. There was no denying. Wanted for 3 counts of murder and 1 count of rape? No, not my Hero. It was another Hero. Of course, his name was not Hero. It was Luke Johnson. No, he was Hero, my Hero, and no matter what went before, I reached for it. I wanted to tear it into shreds before he saw it, but it was too late. He saw it and jerked it down. I knew right then he was as unaware of his past as I was mine. He found his, but was it a good thing? Better to be left in the dark. But there was a reason for seeing this. I never thought about his eyes much before. Oh, I know it brought the brown out in them when he smiled, and they crinkled, made them seem so big and beautiful, but never had seen this. He was not angry. He was so sad. I tried to hold him, but he backed away. I could see his eyes clouding, and I knew the tears were not far away. Still, with a poster in his hand, he walked out the door and kept walking. Hero, stop, please. I'm not your hero. He held the poster up. I'm Luke Johnson, murderer and rapist. I ran to him and said, no, you're not. You're a hero. I grabbed his arm and he pushed. I felt myself falling and hit the sand. I could feel the heat through all my clothes. I just sat there sobbing. I could not move. And it was not because I fell or I was hurt or anything like that. Jazzy was galloping towards me, and in my mind I was begging her not to come to me. I could not say it aloud. I had to be quiet. I could not move. I had to ease my breath. Hero turned. I do not think he knew I fell. No, Hero, played through my mind. Please, please, please do not scare them. Did he catch my thoughts, or had he given up on his future? Was he holding to the past? Oh, God, please, let this turn out all right. Jesse and Hero both knew the snakes were there, circling me. I was not sure how many. I know there were at least three, and they were huge. They were under the sand, but each movement brought them to the top. They're due back to strike, and I closed my eyes. Then I felt Hero lifting me from the ground, and he held me tightly. I looked down at my feet. Jesse stood on top of two snakes, and the third had an arrow through its head. We would never be sure what kind they were, because we had never seen these before. A new breed of evil. Lady, I'm so sorry. I swore I would never hurt you, and I did. I'm so sorry. Hero. He looked as if he was about to correct me, but I would not let him. I held up my hand. It was a sign from God. It was not to throw your past in your face, but to show you how far you have come. It is to show both of us that people can and do change. If God did not care, would you be here? No, you'd be dead or one of those creatures. Hero, you have a new life, a new beginning. I do not care what happened before. If God has forgiven you, can I do no less? I do not need this Luke Johnson. He's dead and gone. I need Hero. Are you still my hero, Luke? He smiled then. I do not know if he will ever forget what he learned today, but for now I have my hero back. Who is this Luke you speak of, lady? There's no one here but me, Hero. And that is what I wanted to hear. We decided to stay away from the post office for a while. That would be for a later time. Jessie went back to where she'd been. I had no worries. She seemed to know when she was needed. Same as Nessie. I started putting my sunglasses back on, but I must have dropped them in the sand. I turned back to look and thought I saw movement. And as I was turning, I saw Hero go down. I was running toward him, and I fell. I did not trip, so what happened? My head was in a whirl, and I felt something in the side of my neck. A tranquilizer dart. I tried to rise. My eyes were dimming, and I could barely see Hero struggling for freedom. Lady! He yelled as he went down. Hero! Did I yell it, whisper it, or just think it? I was down and out. Chapter 22. I cannot recall any part of my body not aching. My headache was so severe, I wanted to keep my eyes closed, but I could not. Hero! Hero! It was only a whisper. My throat was excessively dry. I felt around for Hero. He must be off looking around. No. Wait a minute. It was not dark. It had not been dark since we arrived, so why now? A tear slid down my cheek. Now I remember, we had been attacked, and I had not even seen our attackers. I could hear movement, coughing every now and then, and sobs. Other people. There were survivors in here. Why did they have no light? I crawled on my hands and knees. Rock. That's what I felt. I could feel the sharpness cutting into my hands, and I felt blood from a cut on my thigh. I stopped. Crawling around in the darkness did little good. Hero had not spoken yet. Perhaps he was not awake yet. Perhaps he was... No, I refused to consider that possibility. Then a thought came to me. I should have a flashlight in my skirt pocket, unless they search me. Thank you, God, I said as I looked upward. I could not see anything, yet I knew he was there. And so was the flashlight. It would not last for long. I only had the batteries that was in it. They were new, but I did not know how long I would be in here. I shined it around the area. We were underground. This was a cave. I'd not noticed before, but there was a rotted smell. At least they left me with my wrappings. I covered my nose and mouth. I noticed as I shone the light around, there was movement. It, or they, did not want the light to shine on them. Well, that was too bad. I needed to know what I was locked up with. And yes, I knew I was locked up. A boulder rested in front of the entranceway, and there was no other way out. I already figured out Hero was not in here. But I needed to know who was in here. The light finally caught this little old lady, and she shielded her eyes. How long since she had seen light? Disregarding the rock floor, I crawled over to her. Poor old woman was terrified. Old? No, she was not that old. Not as old as I thought before. Her red hair was so dull and lifeless, matted together as the look of an old witch. She had numerous cuts and bruises, and my goodness, how she stunk. Her dress is barely hanging on her thinning frame, tatters barely covering her breast. There were others, male and female, cowering against the wall. And on the opposite side, I saw what caused the rotted smell. Several dead bodies lay there. Death had taken them, gasping for air. They were piled one on top of the other as a stack. I could hear someone coming. They were whistling a tune. I knew I had heard it before, but I could not recall what it was. It was not a hero, but maybe they would let me go to him or tell me where he was. The boulder was moved by chains. Very clever. A lantern was carried by one of them. He was silent, head down. Scared fella. The other had a huge roasting pan with some kind of food in it. Not sure what it was, but it looked kind of like oatmeal and grits mixed. Turned my stomach. The man that brought the food in had evil eyes, dark, thin eyes. His skin was dark, and he had a cowboy hat pulled back from his face. He glanced my way, and I felt chills. It brought a silent prayer to my lips. "Dig in," he said. His voice was deep, and he had an accent, but I could not place it. They all gathered around the pan, then the evil one kicked a little scrawny man. Young, old, I did not know. This slap had really taken hold of them, robbing them of everything they once were. The man grimaced and went forward again. "Not you, everyone but you." Once again, he kicked the man, looked straight at me. "Get over here, there, and eat." "No, thank you. I'm not hungry." He walked to me, and I looked him straight in the eyes, and he hit me hard. I fell in the plate of food, and everyone just ate around me. I gathered what dignity I could and stood. "Eat," he yelled. "No," I yelled back. "Soon you will. Soon you'll be just like the rest of the bait." "Bait? What kind of bait?" "Oh, lady, soon you'll find out, but not yet." "Where is Hero? What have you done with him?" He laughed a harsh laugh, and he was still laughing as the boulder dropped and the darkness reappeared. I told the little man, "It is safe. You can eat now." He was crying. "What is the matter? You can have my share." The woman I noticed first said, "The ones that do not get to eat, they know they're a bait. Tomorrow, when they take him out, he will not be back." I fell to my knees, ignoring the pain of the rock, ignoring the throbbing face, and ignoring the tears that fell. "I need a God. God, it is I, lady. We need your help. I know there's a purpose for this, and I know you're with me. Please help us, God." "Amen." "He will not help us. He's forgotten us. You are wrong. He sent Hero and I to help you, and we will." The woman cackled, and once again I thought of a witch. I berated myself for that thought. There's no telling how long she'd been in here. "You are locked in here with us, and your Hero is dead." "No, Hero is not dead. And God will provide." An amazing thing happened. The little man was on his knees praying, and then all them were, all but the woman. I was not sure of the future, how long I would be down here, or how we would escape, but we would. I could feel it in my heart. I felt a hand on my shoulder, but no one stood there. Let me rephrase that. God had his hand on my shoulder. I do not know how, but I slept. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the currency of heaven. It's the substance you need for God to go to work. Chapter 23. Isaiah 41:10-11. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish." Food was delivered, water in a big bucket day after day. Once a day, twice a day, I did not know. I'd lost count, and here in darkness, could be day or night. They never came for the man, but still I gave them my portion of food. I could barely hold the water in its foul taste. I was afraid to try the food. "You've been here 5 days, you know. Sooner or later, you'll have to eat." Her cackling laughter always grated my nerves, but as usual, I ignored. "Where's your rescue? I told you once you were in here, the only way you leave is bait." I really did not want to talk. I was weak and hungry, my throat dry, but I had to ask. Everyone keeps talking bait. What exactly is bait? "Well, nobody knows. That's just what they call us. All I know is when they come to get you, They did not bring you back. How do you know how long I've been in here? I have a calendar. It's outdated, but it's still usable. They bring the food every night, same time. I do not ever want to know again. I care nothing for time. That is the reason all this came about. People are always in a rush, always greedy. It was always, if I had more time. My head was beginning to hurt and my thoughts were deserting me. Help will come. Hero will come. He's not dead, or I would know this. I set my back to the wall. I had trouble standing anymore. My flashlight had long since depleted itself of batteries. When I found this wall, I did not stray far. It was the cleanest spot in here, and I was so afraid to lose it. I had tried being brave. I tried helping these people, but I did not know how. I cried, but with my lack of water, it was dry tears. My eyes burned, my head ached, and my eyesight was dimming. I was going blind. Lord, if it is your will, then so be it. The boulder was moved from the door, more swill in the huge roasting pan. I could hear their slurping noises, and if I had anything to throw up, I probably would have. And with a cackle, the woman said, Day 6, and you are still here. I did not respond. Instead, I closed my eyes to pray. I still don't know how many people were in here, but I do know that several would come and pray with me. Hero, I thought. I heard his voice, and again there it was. Lady, hang on. I'm coming for you. Unsure whether the voice in my head was real or fantasy made, I listened again. I could feel Hero. He was alive, and he would come for me. Though my throat was dry, I felt joy in my heart and could not help a burst of amazing grace. Chapter 24. He wakes. He reaches for her, and she's not there. Such trouble he has sleeping when she's not with him. He tried to rise, but she was not in sight. He hurts, and he does not know why. He is amazed by the blisters that form his skin, and the hot sand burns him. His rapids had disappeared. He could not completely rise. He half crawled, half drug himself. He needed out of the sun. Where was she? Then he remembers. They were attacked. He had left her, but he had not meant to. He just wanted to think, but he left her side. But wait, she had caught up to him. His thoughts jumbled, blended into many scenarios. Who was he kidding? It would have happened even with him near. When they met, he realized she was his mate. But she did not know this, and he could not say the words. Not yet. She is his heart, and he feels such anguish, such pain. He must find his heart, and forever would he remain by her side, no matter the happenings. He struggled past the post office. Too much heat and sun in his past. He could not enter there again. Not yet, anyway. She had forgiven him that. God had forgiven him that. But that is what caused him to lose his heart. She was not dead. He knew this. He could feel her breath. He could hear her words and thoughts. He opened the door to the place she got the sunglasses and fell upon entering. Those creatures were here. He remembered them, though he had never gotten a good look. He could not move, though, and he did not remember them coming this close to the light. His eyes closed. He was only going to close them for a moment, only a moment. He was moving, being dragged. He started to struggle, but if these were the little things that it, lady, that had lady, perhaps they were leading him there. Being a big person, they were having trouble dragging him, and it was hurting him worse than before. Excuse me again. They stopped. He heard their ragged breath. He did not know how many, but there were more than two and less than four by the feeling. Then he felt more, many more. Maybe this was not such a good idea after all. They did not know he was awake, so he did have the element of surprise. Then there were many dragging him. He could feel the hands all over his body, their fingers digging into his burnt body. He felt like screaming, but for a bit more, he must be calm. Why you bring this big human here? They are coming, Uma. They took the lady. What if they come back for him? He good, I think. Big man, wake. You need to move further back. They get you. They will not come back here. He moved farther back on his own once he knew they were trying to help him and not harm him. He opened his eyes and looked. They were human, just underfed and lack of sunshine. They were hiders. It had to have been since the beginning. Their eyes were glazed over as a blind, and their skin was a pearly white. Skin and bones, really hard to tell the men from the women. Shh, shh, quiet now. We talk after they leave. The door opened and slammed shut. Where is he? He has laid in that sand for 6 days. You said he was dead. Now where is he? He was dead, boss. We checked him. Even took those rags that he covered with. Jack said he saw one of those mutant wolves. Maybe they got him. You should have brought him when I told you to. Icarn is on the move, and he is unsatisfied with our recent bait. Hey, boss, what about that lady? She ain't done nothing but stir up trouble since she been in there. She got them all praying and having them believe some hero's going to save them. It was all hero could do to remain still and not give them all away. We could try, I guess. Probably need to get rid of her anyway. She won't be no good to us dead of starvation. Now let's get them supplies loaded and head out. This place gives me the creeps. He heard the door slam and let out a deep breath he'd been holding. What is bait? He thought he might know, but he really wanted it verified. Well, we do not really know. We just know when they take you, you never return. I think it is a sacrifice. That is what he had been thinking. He remembered now. The wolves had stood guard over him. He had seen her face, had felt her tears. His heart hurt. He felt his body aflame. She was near. She was his lady, and he was getting her back. Do not worry, lady. I am coming. He smiled. She heard him, for he whispered words carried upon the air. I know, my hero. I know. And, well, that's four more chapters, and I'll have some more later on for anybody that's interested. Have a great night. I love y'all. God loves y'all. Be sure to pray. Peace.